Hello and welcome to this special podcast for the GVNW online seminar, which is taking place on the 3rd and 4th of September 2020. My name is Peter Knaus. I am the country manager, Germany, of AXA XL, and I'm delighted to introduce today's podcast to you. This podcast features an interview conducted by the editor-in-chief of Commercial Risk, Adrian Ledbury, and Alexander Manke, president GVNW. It was recorded on August 26. You will hear about some lessons learned from the current challenging market environment with a look at potential future black swan events that could seriously disrupt international trade in the future and the role of risk managers. Further topics amongst others are the outlook for the upcoming renewals and what to expect from the GVNW online seminar. I hope you enjoy the podcast and are also able to attend the seminar.
Let's kick off. So the first question, Alexander, obviously we've been through a very difficult time. I think Europe has obviously as a whole struggled to start with, but quite quickly started to get a handle on how to manage this crisis. What do you think have been the main lessons from the pandemic, from a sort of political, governmental, societal perspective, and B, for the role of the risk manager? How has the risk management community, what lessons have been learned and what can be gained from this? Is there an opportunity to raise the profile, perhaps, of the profession because of how this crisis has played out?
Okay. Well, these are actually two questions.
Yeah.
I'll answer them. And I don't think my answers will be a big surprise for you. Well, let me start off with the fact that I personally, and also we at GVNW, believe that the pandemic wasn't a black swan event, as you know, you can sometimes read in the press or some market players claim this to be. So it's certainly not something that we were hoping for. And obviously, you know, the way it developed and then swept over to Europe was one that couldn't probably have been specifically foreseen, but it was something that we could and needed to plan for. So it wasn't a black swan event. And I think you know, the old pun applies, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. I think those companies, and by the way, countries have done best and continue to do best in the COVID crisis that had solid contingency plans in work. And contingency plans is not something that you write on paper once and then put in the drawer, but it's something that needs to be revisited on a regular basis and it needs to be applied, not only theoretically, but also practically. And I think, and quite frankly, I've been quite happy to see, at least, you know, in my closer environment, that in most of the companies in countries such as Germany, but also in other countries, it has worked quite well. And I don't want to understress the fact that obviously, you know, for many people, this was a disaster from a health perspective. It's been terrible and continues to be terrible. But I think overall, those people who had planned for something like that have done their best to make sure that we steer through it in the best possible way and continue to do so. Now, this brings me to the role of anyone within a company that works with risk, and specifically the insurance risk manager. And I keep saying that we have a very honorable role to play because we are the interface of everything that is risk and can potentially be insured, at least if we do our job correctly. So as an interface, it's important to make sure that you know all your stakeholders and you're in a very close contact with them, especially when a risk materializes. And then again, I think those insurance risk managers have done best to make sure it's defined and lived in such a way. And I can say then, I think it's less about gaining reputation. It's about, you know, everyone knowing that you're there for a good reason and that you're doing a good job. And overall, again, most of those I've seen and heard about and those I've spoken with have done a very, very good job.
It's clear that the risk managers, your members, were involved in the crisis management teams, the business continuity teams, right from the start, which is great news because I think possibly 15 years ago, that might not have been the case. It might have been, well,
that's true.
You know, why should you, insurance manager, be involved in this business management? That's been a really positive thing I've heard from Germany and also France, Italy, UK. So that's good news for the professional. Yeah.
And then let me just add, because you were talking about reputation and profile, I think while I don't claim to propose anything different to other markets, but the way insurance, commercial insurance works in Germany with the old captive brokers / large insurance departments in such a situation is actually of a big advantage, because being close to the risk, being part of the team, not being an outsider who then has to be asked, you know, like an external counsel, being part of the crisis management team, then actually provides a big advantage and a big value. So I still, and I continue to believe that having resources, your own resources, and then, you know, it's a question of how many do you need and what sort of economical sense it makes to the company, but having your own resources, your own specialist in-house who know what they're doing and who know, you know, when insurance starts and when insurance ends, and who do you have to talk to make sure that even though something is not or not holistically or not totally insured, it still needs to be dealt with. That is something that provides big, big value to the company. And I think, again, most companies, at least our member companies that I've talked to, they've done a terrific job.
So what needs to happen next? How do we better prepare for the next big crisis? Because this won't be the last one.
This has put pandemics certainly highly up on the radar, even though it wasn't new. I mean, most governments who do have something like a crisis management committee and or plan for certain events such as big NatCat events, they've also looked at pandemics in the past. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, you know, the one easy way to respond to that question is they will do so more specifically and will probably not be able to uphold a position that something that happens in China will stay in China, so it won't affect us in Europe. The same goes for, you know, and this is all I'd like to say about countries, because then it's about politics. And quite frankly, there are people much more entitled to comment on that than I am as president of the insurance buyers association in Germany. But when it comes to companies, and I think I've said that before on the other question, I think it's about contingency plans, always. You have to make sure that the health people, the security people, the insurance people, the enterprise risk management people, legal HR, and you name it, they all work together, and they're always prepared for something like this or something similar, so that when something happens, and when it happens, it will never be like you've planned for, then at least you can adapt quickly, swiftly, and make sure that you do the best you need to do in order to protect your people and your assets. And I think that's that'd be my answer to that question. And then, and I know you will want to talk about this later, but let me say here, because it's an important point, I think insurance as a private means to finance risk comes to a natural end capacity-wise, but also in other means in these sort of risk scenarios. So I think to a certain degree, if you know that a pandemic at the end will make for the necessity for tax money to flow, in order to support your local, regional, and national economy, then you might as well also think about insurance solutions beforehand that might be financed partially by the state and the government. So I think this is a situation where we all need to, and I know in some countries we've done so. In Germany, we start certainly starting to do so. We need to have a discussion about state-backed schemes.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's jump on ahead there, because that's obviously critical. And as I just mentioned to you, I had an interesting chat with the new president of AMRE about the work they're doing with governments and with the insurance industry to come up with a scheme. I just interviewed Julian James, who's now head of international insurance at Sompo. He had some interesting perspectives on how the market needs to be more proactive and look ahead. Take this example and don't wait for the next one to happen and then scramble around to create a specific scheme. Let's think about something, a mechanism nationally and hopefully also pan-European, possibly even global, a mechanism that will enable us all to go, right, it's happened, but we're ready for it. Yeah. What exactly is GVN, what is happening in Germany and what is GVNW doing as part of that process?
Yeah, well, we a couple of different things. Obviously, we are part of the task force that Pharma has initiated. So we are talking on an international, pan-European level about it. But I think, and this is also Pharma's position, at the same time, you need to look at national solutions. Because at the end of the day, you know, when COVID happened and continues to happen in Germany, and this, you know, hits the smaller and medium-sized businesses, but also large companies, like, I mean, Lufthansa is a good example, then right. The state will eventually be asked to step in and provide for economical help, you know, mm-hmm. you know, pay out tax money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I think there's a very good reason, and this is what, you know, kind of combines all these discussions and approaches that I've heard about and partially I'm partaking in. What combines is that insurance is another means to actually put money aside and then make sure when, you know, a certain event materializes is paid out by specialists who know how to pay out in claims and make sure that there's no fraud around it. So I think it's about the analytical part, making sure, you know, understanding risk, being able to quantify it, qualify it and quantify it, and then make sure it's put into terms and conditions that then provide for a solid payout in case of a claim. And I think that is something that we should potentially look at with regards to pandemics, as we've looked at it in the past for terrorism risk. And I think, you mm-hmm. know, specifically in Germany, this is part of the suggestion we are making, because there is a scheme in place, Extremus, which is state-backed, and, you know, the infrastructure is there. They have specialists who underwrite terrorism risk. So why not look at this and see if we can enhance it to apply to pandemics? And then, but this is something that we'd only look at long-term. I think you can also look at other large risks, such as our sister organization in France is suggesting, you know, social unrest to potentially cyber. But as a first step, I would stick with pandemics. And then I think it's very wise what our colleagues from Firma have suggested to, you know, to make this a discussion about several lines of defense. And if I cite them wrong, but I think the logic was, you know, first it should be resilience for the companies, then it should be private insurance solutions that may be in place or can be bought. And then only as third line of defense should we look at a national pandemic state-backed solution. And then as a fourth line of defense, it should be pan-European. I'm not sure that a worldwide solution, you know, is realistic. I have my personal doubts. Obviously, it would be something that we could hope for. But I think if we stick to Europe and to the countries in Europe, that should do it in the first step. It also needs to be made sure that everyone who wants to participate in a European scheme, make sure that they've done something locally. I mean, we certainly wouldn't want to see one country having a national scheme and financing it and then participate in a European scheme and another country saying, well, we don't need a national solution, we go to Europe direct. That certainly is not what we're suggesting. Now, where do we stand? We've talked to most stakeholders, market participants about it, large insurance companies, GDV, the Insurers Association. We've made a couple of publications about it, asking for a solution. We've started talking to the German government, who've been very interested in our view, in GDV's view, in BDI's view. That's the Association of Industrial Companies in Germany. And we hope that there will be more material discussions next.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? The key is it's complicated because there's
it's very complicated. And
stakeholders involved. I mean, apart from the actual mechanism, you know, what form does it take? You've got a lot of different stakeholders with varying interests, and then you've also got government officials who possibly, you know, no fault of their own, don't really understand the science behind it, the technical side, and they can be here today and gone tomorrow. So it's a tricky one.
Certainly, you know? And I forgot to mention maybe one mm-hmm. stakeholding party, and that's the brokers. And there's always been a little hesitancy, I think is the right term, to go to brokers and have that discussion. I personally, and we've done it differently this time, I think that the brokers can provide very, very material input by means of their capabilities nationally, but also by their network. And so we've partnered with BVDM, I think is the abbreviation, the German National Brokers Association, mm-hmm. and we will also look at some of the larger broking companies to participate in these discussions, because they know how to structure these sort of deals. Whenever, you know, you come to a point where it's not only about, you know, government guaranteeing something in such a scheme, but you'd also like to maybe have the capital market participate, they know how to do it. So I think it's very, very important that they are in this discussion at a very early stage. And as you know, some of the larger international brokers have already made suggestions as to mm-hmm. how to go about it.
Yeah, no, that's very, I think the brokers do have a key role, and I thought it was positive that you put out that paper last week with the German Association. It was a good positive paper. Before we move on to the outlook for renewals and what your members can expect and how you can advise and help them, just quickly on the topic of business interruption. I mean, this has really brought this into focus again. It's not a new topic. We've talked about it before, following the Thai floods, etc. What needs to happen with BI cover? Is it? I mean, you all want comprehensive, reactive, non-damaged BI cover, and you want it to help manage your supply chain, etc. But it's not an easy one. Is this a separate conversation that needs to go on?
It's not. I think there's a very close connection to what we're seeing right now, because obviously this is hurting the supply chains very, very hard. Maybe harder than at the time of the Thai floods in Fukushima, because also it lasts a little bit longer. So I think this, you know, the danger in this discussion is the chicken and eggs, mm-hmm. chicken and eggs situation, because, you know, for an insurance company to provide a solution, you know, to give you meaningful capacity for a price that as a company you're willing to pay, they need to understand the risk and who else should be able to explain the risk to them than the company. So, and the company at the same time, before they should look out to the insurance market and seek insurance and other risk financing solutions, they should be able to work on the company's resiliency and understand what the risk actually is. So I think that the chicken and egg thing, and we've seen this for the past 10 years, is while the market certainly did not provide the solutions we were looking for and the prices were not where, you know, it was interesting for many companies to buy it, you also had to understand that the analysis of the supply chains didn't really happen in the way that they should have. So I think this is really the time to hold still for a moment, look at what the risk is and make sure we all understand that if you don't understand your supply chain, you need to do so. And then once you do, and you understand it with all its flaws and failures, because nothing is going to be perfect, otherwise we wouldn't need insurance, then mm-hmm. you can try to market it, and in discussion with the market participants and those who offer solutions, to try to find meaningful solutions. Yeah. I think this will be different from the traditional line of businesses, which will also create new challenges, because if you it's easy to say we have to go beyond the traditional lines of businesses, but then you have insurance companies who are regulated by national authorities, and what do they look at traditional lines of businesses? So this needs to be explained to the regulators. So this is going to be a very, very complicated, complex discussion we need to have. If it wasn't complex and complicated, and if it wasn't technical, then insurance, especially commercial insurance, would be something that everyone can do. And I still think this is a specialist topic. And I'd claim myself and my teams to be specialists. I know I talk to specialists at the insurance and the broker side. And then why don't we behave like them? The danger for the insurance industry, especially for those who are responsible for the offerings, is that companies like the large companies that we represent get used to this risk not being insured. So, at a certain point of time, they will start stopping to look for insurance solutions, which, some insurers may think that's a good thing, because then they don't have the nuisance of having to explain why they can't offer it. Yeah. But mid and long term, this is a problem, because, from an added value point of view and also from a reputational point of view, this should be exactly what the insurance industry is looking at and trying to find solutions.
So on renewals coming up, I mean, it's obviously the market's taken some hits. It was going through a sort of re-underwriting process anyway. Very obviously in Germany, the likes of HDI and AGCS were very clear that that's what they were doing pre-pandemic. And then, of course, we have these new claims. You've got an even worse investment environment. What is going to happen? How hard is the market going to get? And what do you advise your members to do about it? What's the strategy?
Yeah, well, I certainly don't know how hard the market is going to get. I hope, and there may be some signs for it also, that we will, you know, pretty soon reach the peak. Mm-hmm. And then come back to more technical solutions. I mean, let me start off by saying that we are not taking a position that the hardening of the market is unnecessary or something that, you know, is unfair, because the margins that the insurers, most of the insurers, were writing in, you know, their traditional lines just weren't acceptable. It didn't work. They didn't earn any money.
Yeah.
And while I still think this is not our problem in the first step, we certainly are part of this market. So if they want to earn money, we need to pay more.
Yeah.
But in order to do so, we also need to understand why we should pay more money. So I think it's first about the insurers doing the homework, understanding and analyzing their portfolios, explaining to us why, apart from, you know, the known claims such as on the NatCat side or even with the pandemic now, their books of businesses were and sometimes even continue to be unprofitable. And then we should also talk about costs, internal costs, mm-hmm. costs of distribution. I know the brokers don't like to hear that. I lose a lot of friends at the brokers, which I'm actually a great fan of, as you know, these days. But this is all something that in transparency needs to be discussed. And then we have to find the right solutions. Having said that, and this is also what we're advising our members with, is you need to understand your risk, you need to communicate, you need to be very transparent, mm-hmm. and don't wait until you are asked, because it may be too late. I think, while as representative of the German buyers market, I express a certain understanding from the insurers. The part which I really don't understand is, while we've been talking about a hardening of the market for a long, long time, and we've actually seen specific signs of this for at least a year now, mm-hmm. They should have been much better prepared to communicate and make sure that their clients, be that through brokers or directly in the insurance departments, understand what they're in for. And one of the things that were one of the large challenges that many of our members right now have is that they really don't know what to expect for the next renewal. They can't, you know, they don't always have the right people to talk to because of organizational changes. Then people they want to talk to don't feel entitled or empowered to make decisions or, you know, give out specific advice or guidance. And then at the end of the day, you know, sometimes it feels like you're trying to talk to someone who plays dead, which is not a good thing. And again, this always goes back to, I mean, once this is known within companies, once this goes to management, that we're not only talking about harder pricing, but, you know, objectively, you could argue that trying to blackmail you into something by waiting until the end of the insurance period. This is also about, you know, the felt value add and reputation that insurance has or could have in a company. So this worries us. And what I see right now, I've talked to one of the large brokers yesterday, not on a different topic, but the guy who's in placement told me this is really dire, because they have started to talk to the larger German insurers at the beginning of the year, and they still don't get the guidance they need for their clients. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how this is going to work out. So it's quite worrying. And then you have the fact that, you know, a hard market is something that no one seems to have ever seen. Well, not a lot of people have seen before. And it's also about, you know, how do you react to it? Do you have reference points in your own past, or do you know people who can deal with it? And it's complicated.
Yeah, yeah. Good time to be a retired risk manager looking for a bit of consulting work.
could be, but then, you know, the same goes for people on the other side. So, you know, it doesn't really help you to be the one who knows how to do it. You also have to have people on the other side.
Exactly, which is what you were saying, you know, about this lack of communication and productivity. I guess this is going to be one of the key topics that you're going to be discussing at the symposium. I think you've put together a good program. You haven't tried to overdo it. You've kept it sharp. You've kept it focused. You've got the main panel debate that Herbert is hosting. That will be where this is discussed, I presume. I mean,
I certainly hope so. And I also will touch on this and other topics in my introductory speech next week. We've tried to do something that, you know, you can follow online without it being too hard or lose concentration. We felt that we just couldn't just skip a year because this is too important a time and we really have to take position.
Yep.
And the feedback we've gotten so far was quite good. We've done a couple of events before, starting with the large panel we had with some of the main insurers at the end of June. That was very well received by our members. And I also think we're doing what we can, because many of our members look at us and search for guidance because they don't get it elsewhere. Yeah. At the same time, it's also important not to put yourself in a position just to criticize and, you know, tell people what you don't like. We also try to be constructive and continue to be a partner in communication and discussion. So I also think it's going to be interesting next week, and I certainly am looking forward for the feedback that we are getting.
Yeah, it's about not dodging the issues and not sort of pretending that everything's rosy, but at the same time, so you have to ask the challenging questions. I'm sure Herbert will during your debate, but you've also got to be prepared to use the opportunity to open up the constructive dialogue, you know, and take it forward. Well, I know that the event will be a success. I presume you've got a German and international audience signing up, because you've got a mix of English and German. Yeah, no, it should be cracking. And then you've got another whole series of discussions later in the month on digitalization, which is looking good.
Which is one of, you know, and it's still one of our major topics, by the way, in very close connection also with what we're currently seeing or not seeing. And so we thought, while it was too early to really get into a mode of telling, you know, starting to propose something from our point of view, why don't we just listen, hear from those who are actually working on projects and their companies and their structures, what they are doing, and try to put it, you know, to give our members and those who participate in those events sort of a framework, sort of an image of what we're looking at and what we could potentially look at. And some of those, I don't have everything in my head right now, but I think some of those platform discussions, some of those digitalization issues will be very interesting. It's certainly something that I'm very eager to move a little bit quicker about.
I went through the program and it looks good, and I would urge our readers as well as your members to sign up for these events, because there's some really, really good content. Alexander, thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure as always. Thank you for the opportunity, and to all your readers and those who are listening in, stay well, stay safe, stay healthy, and if you feel like dialing in, come and see us at the virtual GB&W symposium next week.
Excellent.
And
we'll have a virtual beer. Okay.
we'll have a real one of these days.
One day. Okay, Alexander, thanks very much. Okay,
good luck next week.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.